The man lives in the dark, dank tombs with the dead. This is ironic because he feels incredibly, incredibly alive, a vigorous, intense, high-voltage aliveness as his mind jumps from thought to thought. He moves from cave to stone marker, depending on which voice in his head takes control in a given moment. The name bestowed on him at birth is long lost, but that multitude of voices in his head have found a home. For years, the man has been cast out of his home, cast out of his city, cast out of his own self. That multitude of voices can't decide what clothes to wear, so he wears none. Naked, dragging broken shackles and broken chains because others feel he's a danger to them and to himself, the man struggles toward the shore. The waters of the Sea of Galilee lap gently on the stones as the boat approaches. Jesus steps onto the land and the man meets him. The multitude of voices cry out, begging Jesus, "No torture, please, no torture." Knowing Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, will command their exit, "Pigs," the multitude cries, and out they go. Like the men in Homer's Odyssey, the multitude finds they're now inside the pigs. Their excitement in that moment, though, is dashed as the swine rush down the embankment into the lake and drown. Jesus heals the man from misery and from being an outcast into new life at the feet of Jesus. But rather than rejoicing with the man, fear and worry wrap their arms around the people. Jesus might destroy their pigs, their economic livelihood, their possessions. So the people chase Jesus away. "Go away, Jesus," they say. "Get out of here. We don't want you here. We prefer swine to Savior. You are scaring us." I think when we're afraid, we chase Jesus away too. Even us, the people in this sanctuary, loving people, you and me, we do it. We chase Jesus away. Fear makes our hearts hammer. It floods our faces with heat and raises our blood pressure when we sense a threat to our community, to our economic well-being, to our pigs. And even when we know what's behind the frightening, perplexing, overwhelming experience is Jesus, we're still afraid. We know Jesus often steps in and shakes up our well-ordered lives. Lives we've established, we have thoughts about the way things are and the way things should be. And we know God has done and continues to do so much for us through Jesus, our resurrected Lord who died for our sins. And still, sometimes when God sends us a challenge, it's a way of encouraging us to look at something through fresh eyes. And we chase the messenger who is Jesus, away. Where do we chase Jesus away in our lives? A few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend, Sophie, and I shared with her that I was thinking about this idea of how we chase Jesus away. And instantly she said, "I know exactly what you mean." And she reminded me that back in March, Sophie and her husband and their three kids are from France, and they came to Virginia Seminary for her husband to finish off an advanced degree. But they can't stay unless he gets a job. And he was interviewing, and he wasn't being offered a job. She started to have panic attacks, and she couldn't eat or drink. She was really tied up about it, and especially for their children. Their children are well involved in schools here in the United States, and they really want to stay. So one night, she ended up in the emergency room at 3 o'clock in the morning, much to the alarm of her neighbors and her friends. And they ran all kinds of tests, and they discovered, ultimately, that she was dehydrated. She couldn't eat and drink. She was so anxious. After a few hours on the fluids, they sent her home. And since then, she's pulled herself together. But in hindsight, looking back, she realized that she was paralyzed with fear about what wasn't happening with her husband's job. And she said, Jennifer, I couldn't see how things could work out and how we could stay. I definitely chased Jesus away. I tried to do everything, I tried to handle it all on my own. So in our lives, like in Sophie's, we might chase Jesus away when what I call our mirage of control evaporates, and we're left standing eyeball to eyeball with the reality of what could happen or maybe won't happen. And we wrap it all up, you know, in a nice package with a lot of negative what-ifs. We also chase Jesus away corporately, as a body, as a country, as a town, when fear mingles with cost, and that cost might be financial or it might be some other fear. We can think about it in a variety of ways. We can think about Arizona's immigration law. We can think about feeding, clothing, housing the homeless here in Cary. We can think about the welfare system in our country. We often cut funds from other children of God, and we limit access to resources when we fear chasing Jesus away. Recently, in a newspaper up in Ohio, I saw the headline, "Hamilton County Commissioner's Plan for Plugging a Shortfall in the Cash Needed to Pay for the Sports Stadium. Solution? Cut money for the needy." That tendency to prioritize cost savings over saving people means we drive Jesus away. Jesus who lives within each person. During complicated, fearful, and confusing times, our true cost is actually to operate without Jesus. The man who struggled, bound and shackled, to meet Jesus now sits at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And he feels that warm sun seeping into his skin, and his unrestrained feet curl their toes into that sand at the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And a light breeze dances over his unsecured hands as he leans in closer to hear Jesus' words. "No," he pleads, "please don't send me back into that community. They cast me off as contemptible, disgraceful, and threatening years ago, and now my healing has cost the swine owner his investment, and all the city people are afraid. Please, I want to follow you, Jesus." Jesus replies, "Go. With my love, go and tell the story of how much God has done for you. Remind the people in the city not to fear. You are mine, as they are mine. They will want you once they remember who you are. Carry to the people the story of how, even when I'm chased away, my love lives on in you and in them." Even as Jesus is chased away by those who fear, Jesus leaves a disciple, a healed disciple, who sits at his feet and spreads the good news. So many people's fears chase Jesus all the way to the cross where he hung and died. He left his disciples, who along with the resurrected Christ spread the news and Jesus' love over 2,000 years ago. His disciples were fearful too. But our God breathed life into us with a love so amazing and so large and so magnificent that it compels us to use that magnitude to chase away the fear. Look at Peter, who was scared enough to deny knowing Jesus, even knowing Jesus, 3 times. And yet, on the other side of his fear, he rooted the church in rich soil. So on the other side of fear is new life. Maybe what will help us move beyond our fear and enable us to meet Jesus at the shore like the man did, we can take action by welcoming those in need through the lens of our relationship with Christ. If we can do that, it means we don't chase Jesus away. We can consider teaching English as a second language for adults, or tutoring a homeless child, or getting involved with the Coalition for Justice for Immigrants, or volunteering through Wake Interfaith, which we can do right here at St. Paul's. And I know there's other things too, the migrant workers. That's a great thing to be involved in also. Mother Teresa puts our struggle in her words. Our progress in holiness depends on God and ourselves, on God's grace, and on our will to be holy. We must have a real, living determination to reach holiness. Perhaps determination like the man had, in his shackles and his chains, struggling to the shore of the Galilean Sea, where he met Jesus. When we build real relationships with real people instead of struggling with concepts, we see our reflection in other people, and we can see the living Jesus in other people as well. And that's when we can live into today's reading from Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we meet Jesus at the shore and sit at his feet, we leave fear and cost concerns behind. And instead of chasing Jesus away, we can welcome him. Tomorrow is the summer solstice. The sun will reward our survival of a harsh winter with laser beams of sunlight from directly above. In our northern hemisphere, we'll experience the longest day of the year in celebration that summer has arrived. And then slowly and certainly, the days will begin to shorten and we will have more darkness than light. As sure as that cycle of time and light and darkness continues, we will chase Jesus away because we fear for our community, for ourselves, for our loss of swine. And just as certainly, Jesus will come to us, encouraging us to look beyond fear to possibility.